Hi, welcome to ArtCast. I'm your host, Denny Boynton, and I'm very pleased to have in the studio today with me Jim Vitek, who is the director of e-commerce for Domino's Pizza. Jim, thanks so much for joining me on ArtCast today.
Denny,
I appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
It's great. So, when I think of Domino's Pizza, it's really sort of the entire nutritional content of my college life several years back. So I want to thank you for having this company available to those of us who love
Absolutely.
The pie.
All the food groups love the pie.
Now, director, you're the director of e-commerce, and of course, when we think of Domino's, I tend to think of picking up the phone, calling the store, putting in my order, and waiting for the guy to show up at my door. Tell us a little bit about what e-commerce means at Domino's and what you yourself have to do with that entire part of the organization.
Sure. Well, the way that I'm defining e-commerce in terms of my responsibilities is really Domino's.com. So Domino's.com is your standard corporate site, and we have your standard sections like find our stores and come apply for a job and talk to us about investor information. But the majority of what Domino's.com is it's an e-commerce site where we like to take orders from customers okay. and take as many as possible.
Okay. All right. So right now what you're doing is focusing on that piece of it where people can go order the pizza and instead of going on the phone.
Right. It is by far the busiest part.
I can imagine. Well, give us an idea of what that looks like, because I imagine that there are traffic patterns to your site, like most e-commerce sites. The holiday season comes along and Amazon goes crazy, and there's lots of stuff like that. What's a typical usage pattern for Domino's.com?
Sure. Well, our pattern is really around mealtimes.
Okay.
And
really? Okay.
People don't get any hungrier in the holiday season than they do in any other
season.
All
year round.
And
okay.
so if I look at the cycles in our business, our biggest cycle is the 7-day cycle and the daily cycles. All right. And so we have a peak every day at dinner time and a peak at lunch, those smaller.
Okay.
And we have varying degrees of peaks for dinner rush from Monday, Tuesday through Sunday. Our biggest peak during any normal week is Friday.
Friday, okay.
Well, you think about when you want pizza.
That makes sense.
And
yeah.
that's when our peak is.
That's you get home from work after a long week, you don't want to cook.
Right.
You want to order pizza in. Okay.
Absolutely. And if you think about Domino's Pizza being a network of 5,000 stores in the continental U.S., these stores get peaks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The difference when you look at it from an e-commerce perspective is Domino's.com is taking orders for all those stores.
Right.
And so we have a lot more volume going through the website than any one store has, but it is spread across four different time zones.
Right. Now, I imagine, certain special events you guys probably get mail. I'm thinking, so the first thing that popped into my head was the Super Bowl.
We love Super Bowl.
Super Bowl is a good Sunday for you, too.
That's right.
It's a super Sunday. Can you just give us an idea, how many transactions do you typically do on a day like that where you really have a spike?
I'm not going to get into how many we're doing on a given day, but okay. I will say that Friday is our busiest day of the week, but Super Bowl Sunday,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the hour before kickoff on the commercial breaks,
okay.
we get these massive peaks that
okay.
are half again higher than a typical Friday night.
Interesting. Okay. All
right. And so it's the only day of the year, holiday for us, mm-hmm. that all the four time zones are in sync.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you're here at the Professional Developers Conference talking about your work recently in Domino's.com and Windows Azure.
Sure.
So I think we've kind of sketched over part of the business problem of basically scalability, being able to handle the peaks effectively and having an infrastructure that could support those peak times. Are there other business drivers that you considered when making this move into Azure?
Well, certainly that's the big one.
Okay.
All right, and so. Today, we spend a good bit of time capacity planning. Just like anybody who runs a website looks at what their peak lows are and they have to plan for that, we have to do that all the time. And we've seen tremendous growth in our electronic channels over the last few years, mm-hmm. and that continues to be a good thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
But all that energy that we spend in the capacity planning is something that we'd rather have Microsoft do for us.
Okay.
And so if we can leave all that to the cloud and then that frees us up to do things that our customers notice.
Understood. Okay. So really it was big. Now, did you, I assume that the application itself existed prior to Windows Azure coming into existence.
Absolutely.
Okay.
In 2009, we're going to do 20 million, in excess of 20 million transactions this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's a lot of pizzas.
that's transactions, so that may be multiple pizzas per transaction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. What, so when you were approaching this, did you see any challenges as far as taking the existing application and getting that moved into Azure? Were there challenges there?
You know, there's a few challenges there, and we certainly, you know, looked at what are we trying to accomplish. So one of them is to deal with scalability. The other one is to make sure we are building a portable application as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do think the cloud is the trend, but it is still fairly new. And so we want this to run both in our physical data center and up in the cloud. And looking at our team and our existing site and our skill set, we're primarily a Java shop.
Oh, okay.
And so we talked to a number of folks, and we started working with Microsoft, and we were a little surprised at first to hear that we could run Java in Azure.
Sure.
We got involved in an early adopter program, and we were probably one of the first to actively be running Java in the cloud, and we have it working today.
Okay. All right. Now, does the application itself live completely in the cloud, or do you have it connecting out, talking to different parts of your infrastructure as well?
It has to connect to the store.
Okay.
You know, if you look at the life cycle of a transaction, it's about half an hour.
Uh-huh.
And from the time that you go to Domino's.com till the time the driver gets to your house. And so we can't afford to have a disconnected architecture.
I see.
Now, we can look at new progressive ways of doing it. So in our existing Domino's.com implementation, we have it tied to a VPN network with 5,000 nodes to all of our pizza stores. And when you click purchase at the end of the cycle, it flows into the store and the order takes over from there. We can't and would never tell you that your order's been placed unless we knew that the local store knew about it.
The last thing we want is
the pizza not showing up at your house. Mm-hmm. Now, certainly that shows a couple points of vulnerability if things go wrong. Number one, we have web servers. Number two, we have a network. And so Azure, in this case, gives us a solution not only for the web serving and the app serving of all of our services. It also gives us an alternative to our VPN network.
Okay.
And that what we've done is we've connected our web app in the cloud to the .NET service bus that communicates to the store to transmit the order.
Oh, that's okay. That's
so in this case, my network could go completely south,
mm-hmm.
and I could still place orders.
Interesting.
That's
okay.
A good thing.
Yeah, so you've got a Java web application that's actually transmitting through the bus to connect to the stores. That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. What challenges, I guess what I'm thinking about is, as far as getting that code, how much time and effort would you say it took to prepare what you already had to run in Azure?
You know, Marin, it may not be a fair representation because we were pushing the boundaries and we were trying to be an early adopter of the service bus.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to be an early adopter of
sure.
running Java in the cloud and so on. But I will say that, you know, in earnest, we were able to get this going within a couple of months or so.
A couple of months.
And that counts for a lot of the early adopter trials and tribulations.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. All right. So tell me a little bit about the data aspect of this. Obviously, you've got a lot of data that you're going to use to drive the web application in Windows Azure, and then a way to get that data down to the stores. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you dealt with the data and
sure.
the overall architecture?
Well, certainly, as we were looking at refactoring our application to be appropriate for this day and age, we looked at our existing site, which uses a big relational database in the back end,
mm-hmm.
Which works just fine, but we've had some scale issues in the past, and
sure.
we have to have a DBA and do a lot of work on that, you know, it is necessary work, but we thought we could do better this time. And so we are moving away from the relational data store and into simple key value storage. That lets us do a number of things. It's really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's really scalable. And we can start to leverage the Azure native data services.
Right.
All right. And so what we've designed in is what we call the DAL, the data abstraction layer. So if we're running on our own physical infrastructure, we just write out to our key value store running in our data center. And if we're running in the cloud, we get to leverage the resiliency of the SQL data services.
Oh, okay. Great. That's good. So let me ask you this kind of just in closing. If someone came up to you and said, Jim, you know, you've been through this now, okay, you had the application, you've ported it into Azure, and it's up there and it's running successfully, what are some best practices that you might pass to that person to say, here are some things that you should think about before you go down this road?
I definitely say think through the problem.
Okay.
Okay. So it is a new world. We don't have just bigger and bigger servers. It's time to scale horizontally. Mm-hmm. It's time to look at the way that you're storing data. It's time to take a look at whether you're storing data for optimizing on writes or optimizing on reads. Think about what's most important and make sure you're designing to that.
Okay.
So our case, we want to make sure that everything involved in the flow of the transaction was very simple.
Okay. So just change the way that you've approached the problem every other time and think about it in this new context of the cloud.
Absolutely, because we're a believer that the cloud is here to stay. There's solid economics behind it, and I think in not very much time at all, the cloud is going to be the only logical choice for hosting the application. Domino's is a pretty big, pretty busy website, but it really doesn't make sense for us to be doing this hosting from here to eternity.
It's not your core business, right?
It's not our core business. And the new data centers that Microsoft has put together are built to scale. There's a tremendous amount of automation put in place there that we could never match. And so we would just like to get the benefit of it and have you handle all our hosting challenges, and we're going to focus on the things that customers notice.
Well, that's great to hear. And I want to thank you for taking some time to talk to me today. This has really been interesting, and I know that for a lot of companies out there, I think you've addressed some things that they're probably going to need to think about as they approach Windows Azure. Jim, thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for the... Actually, this conversation's made me a little hungry, strangely enough. I might have to go out on the web.
I've got a shirt for that.
You've got one for that? All right. Thanks very much for watching this episode of ArcCast. I'm Denny Boynton. We'll see you next time.